1206, the name of the show is Brain Damage. The name of me is Matt, and the name of you is something your parents probably never told you. Time is 1206, I just said that. Actually, it's not 1206, it's more like 1203, but this thing is way off. But who cares? That was fun. Now, when you shake it or about, now is that the Japanese version of all about, or are they just having a bout with their aura? But, you know, those kind of existential questions are posed on Brain Damage every week. I figured I'd just get the ball rolling. But I have to find a way to kill some time here, largely because, naturally, I have decided to start taping my own shows instead of relying on my totally obsessed legion of fans to do it for me, largely because last thing I want my totally obsessed legion of fans to know is my address so they can send me this stuff. So I gotta do it all on my own. Spend the money on the tapes, that's right. And, you know what really is annoying as hell about buying blank cassettes? It really drives me nuts, too. The ideal cassette for a show such as this, and most shows on WUSB that run 2 hours, would be a 120-minute cassette. You can't get them anywhere. You can get them in a 2-pack, and you pay full price for them. That's right, Maxell, you are 120. You can't get high-bias cassettes. And I think one of the reasons why is because the high-bias cassettes are on higher quality and therefore thicker tape. They may not be able to fit 120 minutes on it. But the other problem is, even with the low-bias 120-minute cassettes, you pay full price for them. If you want to buy in bulk to save money, you have to get 90s. And for a game, basketball game that lasts 2 hours, you just cut out halftime and it fits on a 90-minute cassette. But for a show such as Brain Damage, all I have, folks, is 90-minute cassettes. So I have to decide ahead of time what part of the show I'm not going to tape. It turns out, by luck, that the part of the show that I usually don't tape is the middle half hour, from 12:45 to 1:15. It just turns out that way, coincidentally. Usually it's the best part of the show, though. So I'm wasting a lot of tape here. So what we have to do now is maintain the quality of the show throughout so that someday I can demonstrate this to some public radio station that pays money for their services, like the constantly revolving door at WNYC, and say, hey, I can do a talk show, pay me X amount of money per year to do it, and I'll quit my boring, repetitive job and do your boring, repetitive talk show instead. But I can't do it if I don't get good stuff on the tapes. So, I've killed 3 minutes, and here I am, killing some more.
Max Moore, detective in Moneytown, at the Solid State Icebox. For a case I call, the puck stops here. I'm a hockey fan, so when I got a call from the goalie, I skated right over.
Hello there, Max.
Gilles Jejeune, obviously a transfer student. And he was skating on thin ice when it came to his finances.
I cannot keep the score on the check account, eh?
Uh-huh. You've been checked so many times, kid, you can't balance your checkbook.
It's like my financial goals are being zambonied, you know?
Listen, Ice Meister, use a ledger to record all the checks you write and keep track of your cash machine withdrawals. And then compare your monthly bank statement with your ledger and make sure the score adds up.
Okay there, Max. And then the checks will no longer bounce like the pucks off the goalie mask here.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh, a slap shot. Cover me. Oh. Face save and a beauty. If you want to score financial goals, call toll-free 800-833-9666. And ask for me, Max Moore, detective in Moneytown.
Don't you just love the sound of dead air? That's right, nothing. Zippo. Just a vacuum. A radio vacuum. Well, I just created one for you for your listening displeasure. And what we will do after that experience of listening displeasure is possibly go to the phones here. And it looks like, to me, the poetry guy is standing by. Poetry guy.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, yeah, you just got transferred to another line. Usually when that happens, you get the answering machine, so it's a good thing I caught you.
Matt, I got one thing to tell you. Can I tell you before you go on?
Please do.
Okay. We last time on the conference phone, we planned out something.
Ah.
And we want to get on the conference, a couple people,
mm-hmm.
and like have, you know, when somebody calls you, then can we want to like decide whether we want to put them on because we're going to plan something.
Ah, okay. So what I will do is I will use you as the base for the conference, and then as people call, I will then go back to you and tell you, and ask you if that is the person you want on.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay. All right. So, anything else?
Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you be able to call me back?
Yeah, I will. Let's see. I will dig up the phone number again, and it is here.
Got it.
I will check. Because if anybody ever gets a chance to look through my wallet, and I will tell you now that that will probably be limited to the females of the species. I have more business cards in my wallet that I know what to do with, half of whom are of people that I don't even think I ever met, and.
You mean they just give you the cards?
Well, I ask for them, actually. If I go, let's say I go into a stereo shop and I'm looking at something in particular, or at least while I was shopping for it, I would ask for a business card, naturally, because if I ever wanted to go back and buy that particular item, I'd want to go back to the same salesman who helped me. And I was shopping for a CD player prior to Christmas, and I've got all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over the place.
Do you want me to give it to you, or...?
I have it. Don't, please. God, don't give it out on the air. Okay, I will call you back momentarily.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, folks. Now, the nice thing about these Rome phones is that, yes, I can say Rome, because, I don't know, why can't I say Rome? Because they put the phones in for nothing? I don't know. The nice thing about these phones, as I was going to say, is that when you dial on them, the tones on the dial do not come up as the normal telephone tones. So I don't have any of Eric's friends listening in on the tones and trying to figure out what the phone numbers are that I dial. So I can dial up the poetry guy now, and unless you have something really sophisticated that can read the tones, you won't know what it is. Okay? I don't see why you would. I keep forgetting it. That's why I have it written down. Ah, here we go. Okay, and it will ring. Here we go. Why does it take so long to connect? One ringy dingy.
Hello.
Hey. Okay. Now I gotta transfer you to a different line.
Okay.
To free this line up. Okay. Okay. Hang this up. Hang that up. Hi there.
Hi.
Okay. Stick around for just a few minutes while I dredge up whatever's lying around. Stick around. Okay. Got the poetry guy waiting. It's 12:15. Incredible how we not only kill time on the radio here on WUSB, but we slowly torture it until it gives in. So, let's see. Got to set up a couple of things here because I don't necessarily have anything in particular planned, but I have some terrific, terrific little things ready for your listening displeasure. Okay, first of all, keep that with Spiny Norman. Oh, I almost... That's nice. I almost busted the CD player by putting the CD in wrong. That's horrible. I should know better than these things. Okay, got that one in. One thing that's nice, these are single CD players, by the way. I always wondered if we might be better off putting a carousel CD player in here just so when DJs get a bad case of diarrhea or coffee side effects or something like that, they can make a run to the bathroom, which, by the way, in this building is quite a distance away from the studio, and you know, pre-program their show for the next half hour or so while they evacuate themselves. Ah, so is that the one I want to do? No. This is the one I want to do. Now, of course, everybody is sitting there saying, why couldn't he have figured this stuff out before he went on the air? And I will say, because I didn't feel like it. So, and I got that damn thing in my head. Just a second, folks. Okay. Hello, you are on Brain Damage.
Matthew Mankiewicz, how you doing?
Not bad. Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Mr. Wizard, remember?
Oh, yeah.
What? What?
Oh, nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, no, you tell me what?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Oh, no, what's wrong? Matt?
Well, I'm not going to say it on the air, but yeah. Let me put it this way. There are some unflattering things that I've heard lately.
Yeah, let me tell you something, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone was calling a dangerous kitchen, saying they were me, but it wasn't me, because I cleared it up with Rotterdam.
Okay.
I swear to God, all right? It wasn't me.
Okay.
Now what?
Well, you tell me now what.
What do you mean, now what?
You said now what.
You have a problem, though?
No, I don't have a problem. Do you?
No.
Okay.
You have a problem?
No, of course not.
I taped last week's show.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I listened to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you actually taped the show and listened to it?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
No, I'm just amazed.
Oh, you're upset. You're hiding something.
Hiding something?
Pat, we've always been open on this show with each other, all right?
Oh, have we now?
What do you mean, have we now?
Oh, if you listen to last week's show, you'll also notice that a lot of people said, you know, Mr. Wizard disses you behind your back.
I do.
You do?
Pat, I would never diss you behind your back. What do they say I say about you?
Oh, that you manipulate me to no end.
I manipulate you?
Yes, you manipulate me.
How do I manipulate you?
That's what I was trying to figure out. How do I get manipulated on this show?
If you get manipulated, you don't get manipulated by me.
Oh, okay.
Wait, how in earth could I ever even manipulate you?
Well, let's see. We've killed 4 minutes on this call already, so...
I've been timing. We've killed a minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So now tell me how I manipulate you.
I don't know. I guess because everybody says, oh, because you are able to stay on the phone for 15 minutes.
I'm able to stay on the phone for 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's what they say anyway. But, of course, they don't have watches next to them, so they can't time it.
People on this for maybe 20 minutes on the time, and I'm on the show for more than 15 minutes.
Okay. I don't necessarily believe everything I hear. As a matter of fact, this being Brain Damage, I hardly believe anything I hear.
I mean, in telecom, it's like a regular Matt Bassathon. In fact, now I'm going to start naming people who have said bad things about you on teleconference. You ready?
Oh, really? Go ahead.
I will name everyone I've heard say a bad thing about you on teleconference.
Okay. Let me get my sound effects here. Yeah, that sounds good. Trash compactor. Go ahead.
Let me get my sound effects. What?
I said my trash compactor is on.
What's your trash compactor?
This. Oh, sorry about that.
What is that? Hello?
No, it was my trash compactor. I figured if you were going to trash somebody, I might as well have some trash sound effects on.
Oh, I get it. All right. I can't hear them over my phone, though.
Oh, that's fine.
All right. Now, let's see. Last week when I was on... You know, there's one person who never says a bad thing about you, all right? I'm going to clear him from this now, okay? Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, this person always picks up for you. I think has something for you, like maybe like a... Never mind, urges, but... I swear this guy...
I hope it's a she.
What?
I hope it's a she.
Not a she.
Oh, damn.
I'm kidding about the urges, okay? No one has to get offended out there, okay? But, what's his name? Jim Cruz never said anything bad about you.
Don't use last names.
God, what are we hiding here?
Do not use last names.
He's like the famous Brain Damage caller, though. He's always on the air. And he's always talking to you.
Do not use
like
last names.
Brain Damage.
Don't use last names. People can use my last name because I chose to use it to begin with, although God knows why I did.
You chose to use it.
Huh?
How have you chose to use it?
I've chosen to use my last name on the air, but I don't dictate whether or not anybody else can, and nobody else should use their last names on the air.
I could tell you someone. I'm not going to tell you on the air, but I'll tell you someone who gave me your address.
Who?
I can't tell you on the air, but I'll tell you.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, but you see, since the poetry guy has a special thing going in and you weren't around last week, I can't put you on with him because they have the special production number ready to go.
I'll give you, all right, I don't know if he's listening now, but it's Chris.
Oh, really?
Yes, Chris. His name is Chris. I don't know if you know him by Chris.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a clue. He calls up Kurt Rotterdam's show and says he's a flying male part of the organ, if you know what I'm saying. By the way, do you listen to Rotterdam's show when he does it?
Rotterdam's show? No, actually, I don't because I'm usually out at the time.
Do you listen to it?
Huh?
You listen to your show when he does it?
Do I listen to my show? No. There's a reason why I put him on my show, so I don't have to be anywhere near here.
Well, anyway, this guy Chris gave me your address over the air.
Wonderful.
Over the air, not over the air. Teleconference.
Just a little request to Spiny Norman. Could you turn the incandescents on in place of the fluorescents? Thank you.
Yes, those incandescents can be a real good light.
Yeah, but nice mood. Nighttime mood.
On telecom, he says, hey, everybody, I know Mankey's address, and he gave it to us.
Oh, that's nice. So what?
So what?
Hey.
Have I contacted you yet?
There's no need. I'm here every week. Anybody who ever wants to talk to me can call me here. Okay, I'm going to park you over to another. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't understand how people say I manipulate you. I, of all people, do not manipulate you.
Okay, you've been on the line for 7 minutes.
Right,
okay.
One thing before I go,
yes.
I tape your shows, right?
Yes.
And if I can be of any help to get you to be on another radio station, I'll give my recommendation because I have connections, you know.
Oh, connections?
My grandfather is a city councilman, and he supervises, not my grandfather, my grandfather's brother, right?
Your great uncle.
My great uncle. Well, every time I say that, no one knows what I'm talking about when I say great uncle. But you possess higher intelligence than most people, so. And I'm upset, though, because, there's a lot of other people who say terrible things about you.
You know what my only qualification for doing this show is, according to the FCC?
And what is that?
I can hear and speak.
Can hear and speak?
I can hear and I can speak. It says specifically
right
on the application for an FCC license that you must be able to hear and speak in order to be on the radio.
Now,
it's open discrimination against deaf people, but hey, well, deaf people don't have much use for radio anyway.
I know he is because I spoke to him, all right?
Yeah.
I want to speak to him on your show.
It isn't so. Gallaudet does not have a radio station.
What?
Gallaudet University does not have a radio station.
Who's Gallaudet?
Yes.
I want to speak to college guys.
Yeah. Well.
Come here together?
Maybe. Well, yeah, maybe. Okay.
Put me on.
Hi there. Okay, stick around. Brain damage.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I enjoyed our conversation about Russian history last week. Let me just tell you that.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it, too. It's a part
I
of
have an interesting point to bring up to you but after the show, but I just wanted to say something to Jim out there.
Yeah.
Sorry I couldn't call you, but my friend Chris Lansdowne, was in a car accident, and I just wasn't able to get away.
Ouch.
Yeah, he was in a car accident. It was pretty bad. He was in his dad's Mustang.
Uh-huh.
And some lady fell asleep. But this is on Christmas. This was a while ago, actually. This was Monday, and just some lady fell asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And he crashed into his dad's Mustang.
Ouch.
The hospital. He got $8,000 worth of damage. So,
well, when you get to $8,000 worth of damage. When you get to $8,000 worth of damage, unless the car is brand new, they usually total it.
You think?
Oh, yeah. They just get another one.
Another one for, insurance will cover it, though, right?
Yeah, insurance will cover it. But $8,000 worth of damage on a car that may be worth less than that, depending on how old it is.
That's 3 years old.
3 years old? Okay. Let's say book value on it is 11. It's almost not worth it.
A lot of depreciation happened there.
Yeah.
All right. So you think he'll probably just get a new one altogether, you think?
Well, he'll at least get the value of the car. So if he can afford a new one on that or whatever. He'll get another car. He won't. They won't bother to try to rebuild that one.
Oh, cause it's gone. I mean, it's total.
Yeah.
He's driving around a green Volvo, and his dad's driving around a green Volvo now. So, I mean, this car's gone.
Yeah, he might as well keep the Volvo. The Volvo would have held together better.
Probably would have. Mustangs aren't that good in collisions, though.
Yeah.
It's like side-on, rather inelastic collision here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to bring up. In school, like, actually, not today, but no, during the week, we were discussing parallels between the American Civil War and the happenings in Chechnya. I was thinking, what's your reflections on that?
There are a lot of similarities. Except for one thing, the Chechens don't own slaves. The main reason behind the whole Civil War was slavery, no question about it.
Slavery extension, more or less, of the territories.
Yeah, but also the fact is that no matter what the South did, slavery was going to be abolished at some point. And the other problem was that they just didn't like and still don't like being told what to do by the rest of the country. And if it means perpetuating perpetuating evil, they don't care. If it means burning crosses on people's front lawns, they don't care. No one tells them not to, that kind of thing. And
they have a problem with authority, you're saying?
They have a problem with authority that's not their own.
Like someone in the South would tell them, don't burn a cross on the lawn. They listen, but if like some Northerner would say it.
Oh, no, if some Southerner told him not to burn a cross on somebody's lawn, they'd think he was sympathizing with the North.
And they hate that, and they get really mad at him.
Yeah. it's really a complex situation there, and you know what's even funnier?
What?
Economics really drives this whole thing, because the South, until the past 20 years, was severely underdeveloped economically, and ironically, it was because of the rampant racism. A British writer made a comment, it's as if the Great Depression never ended in the South.
Never ended in the South. That's
it
good.
Never ended. And the South as a whole is economically underdeveloped as opposed to the rest of the country. And one of the things that is in many cases, the driving force behind systematic racism is a bad economy. I mean, that's how Hitler got into power.
Everybody gets into power.
Everybody gets into all the bad elements of the world get into power when the economy collapses, and they stay out of power if the economy's going well, because the best way to appeal to people is to blame somebody else for their problems.
Hitler used the Jews as a scapegoat right there?
The Jews as a scapegoat in the South. It's always been not necessarily the blacks entirely. They also use the Hispanics, too, especially in Texas. They blame Mexicans for everything. Yeah, they blame Mexicans for everything.
Yeah, but Hispanics. I mean, it's not really their fault.
California, they blame the Mexicans for everything.
47 right there.
Yeah, hey, guys, excuse me, folks. I hate to tell you this, but the main reason why your economy's so bad, it's not the Mexicans. It's Lockheed. It's General Dynamics. It's, come on, guys.
Other things besides the Mexicans.
Yeah, and the Mexicans working at Lockheed are it's so bad that the Mexicans working at Lockheed are blaming the Mexicans for everything.
The Mexicans are blaming each other now?
They're blaming each other. 187 was a weird vote. I'm glad you brought it up. 187 was a really weird situation because you had a lot of working-class people voting for it because they're the ones who are hardest hit, naturally, by the economic decline, and they feel they will continue to be hard hit as long as California continued to support illegal immigration. Back in the days when California was very prosperous and there were plenty of jobs for everybody and somebody had to do the menial work, nobody really cared. Now they figure that, that Mexican is taking away a sweatshop job for me that I wouldn't have taken anyway, a $4.25 an hour job. Let's keep them the hell out of here.
They're pretty much like blaming Mexicans for taking jobs that they would have taken in the first place.
Precisely.
Back even if they had a decent economy, which is not really happening.
That's right. And even when the economy is bad, there aren't too many people out there that are going to give up their unemployment check to take a $4.25 an hour job in a sweatshop.
Employment right there.
Yeah.
You get a lot more.
Well, you get more also, but also you don't have to put up with the crap.
Of
working in terrible conditions.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. And then there's the other one. One of the reasons why sweatshops exist is because other countries with lower standards of living can pay people less money to do the menial labor. So somebody in Indonesia is making less than $1 an hour to do the same job that the American worker or worker in America is making $4.25 an hour to do. Naturally, the imported item is going to cost less. And there are a lot of people who are saying, please preserve our unskilled jobs so that that we can continue to work. And the fact of the matter remains is that one of the things about economic development is that the unskilled jobs tend to require more and more skills as time goes on. And if you don't keep up, you are in deep doo-doo.
Not going to get the job anyway because you can't do it, basically.
That's right. And it's a really complex situation. One of the unions, which, of course, are dying, not just because they are not just because the politics have gone out of fashion, but also because sheer membership and the sheer number of people working in the industries that those powerful unions covered are just not there anymore. Have opposed things like NAFTA and any other lifting of trade restrictions, as if we're going to start exporting more dish towels, folks.
We don't export that many in the first place.
Yeah, we get them all from China. That's because the Chinese will pay 10 cents an hour to somebody who make dish towels. And as a result, the dish towels still only cost $1.
Yeah, getting back to the civil war we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
the situation in Chechnya.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know what official position we're taking with Chechnya?
The official position is, Yeltsin, please do not get yourself overthrown.
What I heard, some undersecretary in the House, from like Larry Miller or somebody like
yeah.
that, he was saying that we have to support Yeltsin's use of force in Chechnya, because if we don't, we'd be hypocrites because we used force in the Civil War.
He's right. He is right from that point of view that the belief on this side, because we are not in Chechnya, we are not in Russia, is that the Chechen cause is purely emotional.
It is. There's no fear. You were saying last week.
They were never independent. It's true.
It can't support itself economically even if it does break away.
It can't support itself economically even if it does
yeah,
break away. Exactly. You know what they probably should have done? You know what the Chechens probably should have done? And it seemed that the rest of Russia was willing to let them do this because they apparently officially declared independence about 5 years ago, is to say, okay, we're independent, but we're not going to do anything about it. In other words, the same local government will be in place, the same currency will be in place, and if some law comes down from the central government saying, do this, we'll make it look like we're doing it, but, you know, don't necessarily do it, in other words.
The point of being independent.
Be loose in its enforcement. Well, what is the point of being independent other than one very important thing?
Well, your nationalism, that's only it.
Well, that's one thing, but also the fact is that there is one big cultural difference between Chechens and the rest of Russia.
Nothing. There's no cultural difference.
No, they're mostly Muslim, and the rest of Russia is mostly Eastern Orthodox.
So, only 10% of Chechens are Muslim. What do you want?
That's even funnier.
10% of Chechens are Muslim. The rest are ethnic Russians, either Eastern Orthodox or atheist holdovers from communism.
Okay.
I looked that up for a fact. I had to do something about this. I looked that up.
Okay, so the plea for independence starts to lose its significance even more. This is not Yugoslavia we're talking about, folks, where the Croats and the Serbs and the Bosnians are rather distinct nationalities kind of forced together under Tito.
The South is more distinct than Chechnya is.
Yeah.
The South in the United States, they have a distinctly different lifestyle because you were saying about the industrialization. The South is much more rural and more, I would say, militaristic and even more aristocratic than the North. See, I can see that as maybe being justification for secession.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the South probably could have supported itself.
Well, they would have become a vassal state to the rest of the industrialized world, in particular England and France. And one of the reasons why England was originally supportive of the South is because they figured that it would be give them an easier time obtaining cotton. And when they finally developed the cotton industry in Egypt,
they had the need for the South right there.
There was no need for them anymore. And
they didn't need them anymore.
Yeah, you know what would have happened? Had the South been allowed to break away, they would have become a third world country.
You honestly think that?
Oh, yeah. They would have probably, the economy would have, the bottom would have fallen out of the economy because I think the Egyptian cotton was being developed even before the Civil War. Because, let's face it, Egypt is closer to England than the United States. And if once the Egyptian cotton was developed, the Egyptian cotton grow the whole the agriculture for Egypt, then it was it became unnecessary. The South relied on cotton as its primary cash crop. That's another thing. A one-crop economy. No, tobacco was there, but tobacco wasn't as prevalent as it was in colonial days.
But you talk about the tobacco. I mean, there's some. And
tobacco, and also tobacco was being grown on the coast.
Yeah,
inland in Arkansas, right. Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, cotton. Tobacco was primarily coastal. Virginia, North Carolina, et cetera, where it's still being grown. But, and cotton, I mean, tobacco could not have supported the entire southern economy the way cotton was doing. And if the bottom fell out of that, then there would have been a huge problem. And maybe the country would have reunited on its own because the whole theory, and also you got to remember something else. As slavery was being abolished forcibly in the United States, it was being abolished voluntarily in the rest of the world.
But Britain had done it like 20 years before we started to, I think.
Britain had done it in England. Britain had not done it in the empire until a couple of years after.
Really? Like in India and like every place else there's still slavery?
Had not. Officially it was allowed, but I don't think it was being practiced. Officially, I think it was banned. I'm not sure about this. You're going to have to look this up in your Encyclopedia Britannica, but I think the British Empire finally put an official ban out right after the Civil War. I'm not sure.
Did the North ever, like, officially abolish slavery, I mean, in the time period before the Civil War?
Long before state by state.
Officially state by state? It wasn't just, like, a prevalent feeling, like, hey, we're not going to own slaves anymore?
No, it was banned. Individual states in the North banned it. In the colonial days, slavery was legal all the way up and down the coast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
the North, some people in the North even owned slaves back then, right?
It fell out of practice because the need wasn't there anymore. The need wasn't there anymore for the extremely cheap labor, and also maintaining slaves, okay, one or two, is expensive. It's another family member, quite literally another family member.
You had 800 slaves, you're not.
And if you had 800, you had to support them too. They were a valuable commodity, but on the other hand. When you need somebody to work the fields and there aren't enough white people to go around, that's what you do.
Get slaves to do it for you.
That's right. And if there were, as a matter of fact, they went to avert what they did when they lifted the slavery restrictions was they started doing sharecropping, and which was just wage slavery.
I mean, even when slavery is abolished, the slaves still have to work for pretty cheap, you know.
Yeah, they're still working pretty cheap. And
one of them cracked open with a Miller beer, sat down and said, hey, I'm free. I'm not doing anything. They had to go out and find work, too. Because
exactly. And the work was less reliable, but, hey, on the other hand, you couldn't continue with the way things were, either. That's one of the things that we have to mention, too, with Russia. You saw today's Newsday, right? Well, the one that had the headline, Yeltsin losing it.
Yeah, Yeltsin's losing it. His orders are being disobeyed and everything. And
yeah.
No one cares what he says anymore, more or less.
Yeah, that's apparently what's going on here. Is there are a couple of senior advisors, I don't think Volkogonov is one of them, who are really trying to keep the army in behind Yeltsin. And in exchange for doing so, they're trying to get control over him.
You lose the army, you're gone. See you later. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you lose the army, you're gone. Now, there's also talk that maybe Yeltsin should just fire everybody and do a purge. Not necessarily what Stalin did where he shot everybody, but just drum the hell out of the service.
And you're becoming a dictator. Sorry.
No. If
everybody, you're a dictator.
If the army, the United States Army, ever decided to, let's say, this was something that people didn't realize what was going on here.
Only what?
Remember with the gays in the military controversy a year ago?
Yeah, I remember those days.
When the army openly resisted it,
yeah.
The commanders.
Yeah, like
that
people,
was
even, like respected leaders in the army were saying, "We don't want this; it's going to kill us."
That was tantamount to mutiny. They did say eventually, "We'll go with whatever the president tells. We'll do it whatever the president tells us to do." But let's say if the topic were a little bigger than that, a little more.
Aiding another country.
Yes, or let's say if the controversy were bigger than that over something else completely different.
Like what?
And the Army decided, let's say there were major cuts in defense spending and the Army didn't want it, which has happened in other countries. And the Army was starting to get a little restless, and it got to the point where there was some doubt as to whether or not they would follow the president's orders. The president would be well within his rights and would probably have the overwhelming approval of the American people, too, to fire anyone who didn't obey his orders. The president is commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and that is it. That is clearly mandated in the Constitution. That's not dictatorship.
I'm saying if you fire people not in the army, like your whole entire cabinet, if you go to the vice president.
Sure you can. You only member of your cabinet. The president has done, as a matter of fact, Nixon did that, the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It could be another one of those.
The cabinet's not officially sanctioned in the Constitution. The president can take out and put in anyone he likes with the advice and consent of the Senate. The president can fire anyone he wants. The only control the Senate has is whether or not he hires someone.
But you can't go around firing all the people in your cabinet.
Sure you can. If you think your cabinet is disloyal to either the country or the Constitution or you personally, can them. Gone.
What if what he's doing is wrong? Everybody knows it's wrong. And if his cabinet doesn't want to go along with it, and he fires the cabinet.
Well, then you can bring the Congress can bring the president up for impeachment. There are checks and balances, at least in the American Constitution. The president can be removed from office. Matter of fact, I'll give you an example. Andrew Johnson, right after the Civil War.
Yeah, he's the tenure of Tarfus Act. He wanted to fire Seward. He fired Seward. They brought him up on impeachment.
They brought him up on impeachment, and they were 100% wrong. Because a Tenure of Office Act was unconstitutional because it covered an area of government that the Constitution didn't even mandate, had no control over. And it was Lincoln's old cabinet, and they were trying to run Andrew Johnson instead of the other way around. And Andrew Johnson's mistake probably was on April 15th, 1865, when Lincoln was taking his last breath, when he took office, he should have said, "You're all gone. I can I will rehire some of you as I please, but you're all gone."
He had no vice president, right, Johnson?
He was the VP under Lincoln. He didn't have, I don't know, because there was no provision. There was no 25th, it was the 25th Amendment?
It was the 25th that would let him make a vice president.
That put Gerald Ford in office. Prior to that, there was no means of putting a vice president in office if the vice president succeeded in the middle of a term. LBJ did not have a vice president until 64.
Didn't?
Nope. It was vacant until the 64 election, until he selected Humphrey as a running mate.
Who did Ford come in under?
Ford came in under Nixon, and when Agnew was forced to resign for tax evasion.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when the mechanism was put into effect, because it was that amendment was put into effect when LBJ took office.
Right.
So that the vice presidency would not be left vacant for the balance of a term. And the succeeding president could then choose a VP, of course, with approval of Congress. And that's how Gerald Ford became the first man ever to succeed to the presidency without ever being elected by anyone. That's what they said. Because at least the vice president is elected as a running mate to the president. Okay. Gerald Ford was nobody's running mate.
He was just named after that.
He was selected. He was appointed to the vice presidency. And Gerald Ford then subsequently appointed Nelson Rockefeller.
Yeah.
That's something nobody remembers. Nelson Rockefeller was VP under Ford.
Right. in Russia, can communism come back?
No. A communist inclined government can come back. The Communist Party could be legalized again. But communism, the way we knew it prior to 91, will never come back.
Communism Party's outlawed?
Huh?
Communist Party's outlawed in Russia?
In name, yes. But members of it are all over the government. Former members of... Yeltsin was a former communist.
Hey, the party itself is outlawed? Like, if I go around in Russia and say I'm a communist, I get arrested?
No. Just the organization itself cannot be formed again. The KPSS, Communist Party of Sovietsko Soyuz or something like that, the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, by law, does not exist anymore.
And how can we feel it can't come back into existence, even if
it can.
People are dissenting against the government?
It can, if a new government sweeps into power and says, okay, Communist Party can be reformed again. Just that the people will not go for the Communist Party taking complete control of the country again.
Because
of what happened in the past. And also the change has been made to a market economy. And that is going to happen. There will always be a market economy in Russia from this point on. There's also a public sector of the economy in Russia, which still exists. There's still a lot of state-owned factories and stuff like that that haven't been completely privatized. And that might be... propped up again by the state if Yeltsin gets thrown out. But even if you notice, even China has gone to a market economy.
Oh,
so I sincerely doubt, no matter how socialist or communist Yeltsin's successors would be, they will not go back to the way things were.
Even if, like, Zhirinovsky gets in there?
Zhirinovsky is not a communist. Zhirinovsky is a fascist. Zhirinovsky is all for a market economy.
He's just a lunatic.
Zhirinovsky would not have lasted 5 minutes in the Soviet Union had he been open about his views. Zhirinovsky only emerged into the spotlight after the Soviet Union fell. The KGB would have put him on a rack if he was open about some of the things he said that back then as he is now.
That's it. You say Chechnya breaks away by some miracle, they beat the Russian army, okay?
They won't, but yeah.
All right, now, you know, if that breaks away, every other republic's going to want to break away. You know,
that's
right?
The main reason why they attacked in the first place. Although, like Vladimir Posner said, I keep quoting him because he said the one best thing that I've heard about the whole affair was said by a Russian. He said that this could have been solved diplomatically if you had diplomats in the government. And instead, you have everybody, even the most liberal member of the Russian government, even the most liberal Russian, is used to doing business with brute force.
Yeah, Afghanistan, perfect example, right?
Afghanistan, everything. If you didn't make your 5-year plan and your collective farm, you're gone. Okay. And under Stalin, you got shot. Yeah, under Stalin, you got shot. Under Gorbachev, you just got canned. It's very clear. The rules are very clear. You don't do what you're supposed to do, you're gone.
And so if Chechnya breaks away, every other republic breaks away, you know, you got a real problem. You got a real problem with nukes going around.
That's a problem.
That's something you didn't have in the Civil War.
But I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
Being of Polish descent and knowing what the Russians did to Poland, if a nut job like Zhirinovsky went into office, I would do everything in my power to help some fellow Poles steal a couple of nukes out of Ukraine, just keep them in Poland, just to keep Zhirinovsky out.
What was the quote you said last week, some Polish quote?
Which one?
First at me, niet something.
Niekotorny. That's a Russian word, but I think the Polish translation is similar. The Russian, it's literally translated uncultured, but to a Russian, it's much stronger than that.
Yeah. It means something not that nice to us.
A boor, uncouth.
Cossack.
Huh?
Cossack.
A Cossack.
Yes. A kind of Cossack.
Yeah.
It's basically what the direct translation is, and we don't like being called Cossacks.
Yeah. The Russians do not necessarily like... Well, actually, the Cossacks were rather useful back in the Tsarist days because they were the best horsemen in the world.
Trained killers,
yeah. The NKVD, the KGB, or the Cheka. Oh, you know what a Chekist is, naturally. A Chekist.
I know what a Chekist is.
Yeah, member of the KGB.
I know a KGB person is a Chekist.
Yeah, and the Czechist, the original security agency under Lenin was called the Cheka. And everybody...
That gradually became the KGB.
They became the NKVD, and then the KGB, and they were still called Czechists.
What do you call it now?
A Czechist is still a secret policeman, what we would call secret servicemen Czechists.
Yeah, but,
they're not bad guys. The secret servicemen have very clearly defined jobs, and they don't go outside them, at least to our knowledge.
Well, they probably do, too. But do you think if a couple of Russian republics break away, we have a nuclear problem on our hands? Because it's a little border war.
We already have one.
A bit more than that if you have some guys going around with nukes.
We already have one.
Pakistan?
Huh?
Pakistan?
Well, North Korea, Pakistan. But we are constantly on the watch in Ukraine, in... In, where is Baikonur? That's in, well, which one? Kazakhstan, I think, has a couple, has a few
Belarus
nukes.
Has one.
Huh?
Belarus has one.
Belarus has some. They're all, one thing, they were rather, the Soviets were rather overconfident back in the days. They figured that the Soviet Union would last forever, and all these different republics would still stay part of the country.
Not pretty accurate right there.
Yeah, which turned out not to be the case. So they put a lot of their nukes in the outlying areas of Russia because they were the easiest places to launch them from. And when the Soviet Union broke up, a lot of those nukes were no longer part of Russia. So all those other republics are now nuclear powers.
Yeah, you got the Black Sea Fleet up in Siberia, and Siberia's not too happy about being part of Russia.
Yeah.
And if they get a hold of the Black Sea Fleet, you got a big problem.
Huge problem.
You can't be going around launching nukes from submarines.
Yeah. We got all these guns. They got all these guns, all these submarines, all these ships, and we're talking pretty large numbers. Remember, the Russians had more in terms of sheer material. The Soviets had more in terms of sheer material than we did. The only edge we had is that our stuff supposedly worked better. But I'll tell you something, an F-15 going against a squadron of MiG-21s is going to have a tough time.
An F-15 can take out a couple of MiG-21s before it goes down?
Oh, an F-15 can probably take out a squadron usually amounts to about 25 aircraft. An F-15 has enough ammunition, enough missiles on board to take out about 12 of them. If it doesn't get itself hit in the first place, and it's got radar jamming and chaff and flare dispensers to make sure that it doesn't get hit. But... once you're out of ammo and there are still 13 of them left, what do you do?
Run like hell.
Exactly. And that's exactly what the Russians counted on. Because what whenever they came out with a new gun, new plane, new everything, they put them in the front lines, but they keep the old stuff in back. They would never retire anything until it couldn't fly anymore.
They'd use old stuff, right?
They'd use old stuff because they figured, okay, they get past the 29s, we'll just put 5 million 21s up, and then we'll take out whatever they have left.
That's pretty good strategy if you think about it, though.
Yeah.
You know what the real victim of the Russian collapse really was, in my opinion?
What?
Space program.
That's
so bad.
That's horrible. But on the other hand, they're getting a lot of help from NASA now because NASA realizes their space station technology is better developed than ours.
You got Mir up there, right?
Mir, they're still operating. They still have Mirs. They still have Mir up there. Mir is a model of a space station.
Not the real one itself yet.
No. I'm not talking about model as in terms of not the real thing. It's a variant of a space station. They've made several of them. There's more than one Mir floating around.
They're up there, more than one?
Just like the Soyuz spacecraft they use for transport.
With that, yes.
Yeah, which turns out to be more reliable than a shuttle, by the way.
it's so much better than ours.
No, not better. Simpler, therefore easier to launch, easier to control, easier to do all the other stuff. The Russians have always made do with less. So their stuff may be less sophisticated. Okay, you know they're the type of people who would use a 286 computer in place of a Pentium, because the 286 will do the job. it won't do it necessarily. It won't do it as well as a Pentium would.
It'll get it done.
But it'll get what they need to get done, done. And that's what you're. That's really what you're comparing it with. While with the Americans, we just keep developing stuff and developing stuff, more sophisticated, and they just keep replacing the old with the new. And we have all these amazing capabilities, which, of course, proved themselves in the Gulf War. But on the other hand, it's more expensive. You can't launch as many can't launch anywhere near as many space shuttle missions as you can Soyuz missions, and not as reliable. So the Russians have the Russians in terms of frequency of launches, in terms of actually getting men up there, have a better record than we do at this point.
You can't really worry about that now when your nation's economy is going as bad as Russia is.
The Russians are keeping it going because they realize that's where their salvation is. The Russians don't have an edge in technology over us, but they were able to compete with us, remember. They are good in areas that don't require a lot of money. Excellent in aerodynamic research. They are excellent in metallurgical research. They're very good in those two areas, material science, metallurgy. They are terrific. A lot of the research centers in the United States have contracted the Russians in many cases to do work for them.
But you see, in areas like medicine, they're behind us a lot.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
You might know. What areas would you be talking about?
Radial keratotomy. Their ophthalmology actually was more advanced than ours.
How did you find that out?
Radial keratotomy was developed by a Russian.
Was it? I was going to get that done, actually.
I wouldn't, by the way.
Why not, man? What?
Doesn't last.
It won't last?
Does not last.
How is it not going to last?
Because the cornea starts to revert back to its original form after a few years.
And
it can only be done once.
I was going to get it done in a couple of weeks.
Oh, no. Matter of fact, the Russian who pioneered it said that, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't last.
Well, scratch that. I ain't getting that. Thanks, man.
It doesn't last.
Thanks. That saved me. What happens when it goes back?
Your eyes just go back to the way they were. And also, another long-term effect, if your distance vision is corrected and stays corrected, often you become farsighted. So you start to need reading glasses.
That's stupid anyway.
So you're screwed either way. You're better off just sticking with corrective lenses.
Seriously?
In the long term. But, you know, there are some people who swear by it. Some people who have had it done and swear by it. But think of it this way. Kathy Lee Gifford.
No, I mean personally.
Oh, personally, no. One thing about it, though, is how much does it cost, by the way? About $1,500 an eye or something like that?
Well, if you get on GHI and stuff like that, it can go down to maybe $1,000 an eye.
$1,000 an eye. Okay. How much do you think it would cost to keep you in regular glasses or contact lenses for the rest of your life?
Much, much less.
That's right.
Much less. Oh, that's even...
That's right.
And,
and unless there's something you do that absolutely positively requires uncorrected 20/20 vision, such as flying in the military.
Each force, you gotta do that.
In the Air Force. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think the Air Force will even allow that. You can't have. They'll probably say uncorrected without surgery, 20/20.
A friend's in the Air Force, and they won't let his friend in because he had that thing done. They let him in, but they won't let him up in a jet.
Yeah, you have to be 20/20 uncorrected. Now, once you're flying, your vision can deteriorate to correctable. But to get into the pilot programs in the Air Force, Navy, or even Army for helicopters, got to be 20/20.
How would that be, though? I mean, if you're looking...
Hey, it's one reason why I never got in.
Anyway.
Huh?
Well, why is that? Because if they're going to allow you to fly with glasses, if it deteriorates, then how come you have to be in...
Well, I guess it was an accommodation to the guys as they age, and when pilots age and they become squadron commanders and stuff like that, you're not going to throw them out just because they need glasses. You need their experience, so it was more out of necessity than a preference.
I can see where that's going.
Yeah, look at the guys who fly commercial jets now. Most of them are middle aged. So naturally, they're going to need glasses at some point.
You're not going to just throw them out because they need glasses.
Exactly, because you need experienced pilots.
And you'd rather have some guy who knows what the hell he's doing up there.
But on the other hand,
because your students doesn't wear glasses.
When they're young, when you can pick and choose them, you want them to also, an experienced pilot, if he ever got his glasses knocked off, can still fly his plane. Guy just getting up there probably would panic.
You're going to crash or something.
Yeah.
You're going to panic and scare the heck out of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So they want that. Now, as far as the commercial airlines are concerned, WUSB Stony Brook, by the way, as far as the commercial airlines are concerned, what was I going to say? They probably don't have that requirement. It's not as strong. But virtually everybody who flies for a commercial airline has came from the military. Because the military is the best flight schools in the world. The
military does? Okay, yes, right.
Naturally.
The commercial jets generally did fly for the military?
Yeah. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about a good number of them.
What if there's no war going on?
Don't matter.
Oh, yeah, they're still training fighters.
They're still trained pilots, and they're not all fighter pilots, naturally.
But something like just transport pilots?
Transport pilots, helicopter pilots, et cetera.
I can see where you want. Well, you would want the experienced pilots up there, I guess.
Hey, if it were your butt on the line, if you were going up on an airplane, you definitely want the best pilots there. You wouldn't want the pilot's son.
Yeah,
having his son. Oh, can I fly the plane, Daddy? Just don't put it into a mountain.
I wouldn't want to die, basically.
Yeah, just like that. God. The Russian pilots, now that you brought up the guy who let his son fly the plane. You know what Russian pilots used to do back in the commie days?
What?
Russian pilots used to land their planes hard on purpose. Used to flatten the tires.
Yeah?
Yeah. Reason why?
Why do you want to do that?
Because that extends their layover in the United States. because of course, the planes are of Russian manufacture, the Yushinail 62s and Tupolevs and stuff like that. So the tires that were available for Boeings won't fit on the Russian planes necessarily, so they got to bring them from Russia. So they, in the meantime, they hang out in the U.S. for a while, you know, the extended vacation.
That's
actually... Yeah, and my friend used to say, those dumb commie pilots. He said, no, you idiot, they're doing this to extend their layover. By hell, I would not want to be flying on that Aeroflot plane when he wants to flatten the tires.
He'll go in like hard landing.
He'll go boom. Is it? Wait a minute. This is not a carrier, guys.
People bouncing off the walls in the plane.
Oh God, I really feel sorry for anybody who had to fly Aeroflot. Ooh.
Actually, believe it or not, they had no crashes. But we heard of it.
Oh, well, they had a great record. Well, at least when they crashed, nobody. I'm sure Brezhnev's boys didn't tell anybody.
Sure they're not going to go around broadcasting to the United States. Hey, we crashed a plane in the Urals.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they did have a great crash record outside the Soviet Union, which, they did a lot of flying outside the Soviet Union, and Aeroflot planes rarely, if ever, crash. So they use their good pilots on the international routes. We know that. And they maintain their international routes very well. But once the bottom fell out of everything over there, and there was no control over the airline split into different companies, et cetera, et cetera. And maintenance fell off, and then they started cracking up into everything.
Yes, remember that the airlines were controlled by the government back then.
Well, not only that, it was all one company.
Aeroflot today
is actually dozens of different companies caused by the breakup of the Soviet Union and the privatization, too. So you have a bunch of guys flying under the Aeroflot name, flying old Aeroflot aircraft, but they're not Aeroflot.
They used to be Aeroflot.
They used to be Aeroflot, but now they're Aeroflot of Chechnya or something like that.
Aeroflot of Ukraine.
Aeroflot of Ukraine or Aeroflot of Vladimir's backyard gas station. It's become a real mess, so you don't know what you're getting anymore.
I mean, we're talking about the breakup of an airline. Even the breaking up of the nation's getting out of hand, because, you're going to have fragmentation happen.
Mm-hmm.
Too much fragmentation. I mean, everyone's going to want to be their own little republic, and you can't have that.
Of course not.
You're going to be like the Republic of French or the Republic of Tom, something like that.
Well, you see, It happened in reverse in Germany and Italy. Germany and Italy were, well, you think Italy's a mess now? Italy was a bigger mess before 1870 because Italy was several different countries. Italy was Sardinia. Italy was the Papal States. Italy was the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies, which entailed everything south of Naples, including Sicily. So Italy was several different countries.
Yeah, it was.
And Italy was Tuscany. And they all spoke Italian. Now, of course, you know, regional variations, but they all spoke Italian. They all had a fairly common culture, but they really didn't amount to much in Europe. And one reason why is because they were split up into so many different countries. Germany, the same thing. Germany was 300 different principalities. That's why you got all those castles in there, because each prince had his own castle. So you had castles. I was in a town in Germany called St. Goar that had three castles in it.
Three castles in one town?
Three castles in it!
Fragmentation gone horribly wrong, right?
Yeah, now. We're talking about major fragmentation. And over a period of several decades, both countries unified into one. Germany's final unification came in 1870. Italy's in about 1861. And then I think the last parts of it were incorporated in 1871. But anyway, when they became unified, they all became very powerful. Italy is still a major player in Europe, no matter what kind of a mess it's in.
Well, it's in a terrible mess now.
Well, Italy, you know what a friend of mine said? Italy is Europe's Mexico. Italy, the government, nobody pays attention to the government because the government can't decide what's going on. So they just go on with their merry lives and the hell with them.
Yeah, they got like a couple of fascists in office now.
Couple of fascists in office. You think anybody cares?
No one gives a damn about what the government says.
Nobody. There's no government in Italy.
No government. You go around anarchy over there, more or less.
There's no government in Italy. Come on. No, there are a bunch of guys in Rome who play at the. It's like playing house. They play government.
The figureheads.
Yeah. They pretend to be the government, and we pretend to obey them. That's right. It's like in Russia, it was, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us.
You pretend to work.
Yeah. And but it's like that's what it is. Okay, let them play.
Let them do what they want. We'll go out, do our work. We're out there every day. And we'll let them think they're governing us.
Yeah, let them think that they actually have some effect on what's going on.
Give them a damn.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, I do have to go.
If you throw me aside, whoever wants me, Mr. Wizard or
okay.
Poetry Guy.
Okay, hang on. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm going to put him on.
Hey, before you put...
You're in. Stick around. Okay, sorry about that, Poetry Guy. Whoops. Wait a minute. I didn't want to put you in there. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Liberty,
you know? Oh, let me tell you something. I went out
this week. You're yelling at me for manipulation?
Since
last week, that's for sure.
Oh, that's cool. Can I go inside?
Yes. Thanks. Hang on just a second. I got to redial Poetry Guy. Sorry, dude. I know you were waiting for a long time. I get it. Talk about being manipulated. Okay, just a second. Oh, I can't use that line. I got to use this line. Okay. Don't mind the dead air, folks. Where is he? He's trying to call me. Brain damage.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, hang on.
All right.
Brain damage.
What's up, dude?
What's down?
Who's this, my man?
It's... Who do you think it is?
My man, Matt?
Yeah.
What's up, Swede?
Swede? Oh, I'm a Swede now. I know. I guess I got some blonde roots in there somewhere. Go ahead.
What you been doing, mate?
Not much. What about you?
You know, I'm a little sick. A little hoarse.
Ooh, what happened? Blowing your nose, I guess.
A little
right there. Oh, under the weather, yes. And
right up the paw.
Yeah, so what's going on tonight?
I'm playing golf all day.
Yeah.
Play golf?
Yeah, the only trouble is I usually don't play golf at this time of the year. It's
cold. I only play golf with the Russians.
I don't play golf with the Russians. Russians don't know how to play golf. When was the last time a Russian won the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Oh, hello?
Yeah.
I'm just feeling a little bad. The cold, it's getting to me.
Oh, man, yeah, I know what you mean.
That's why those Russians are fighting,
Uh-huh.
They had enough of the cold.
Oh, come on, they're used to it. They love it over there.
They want to get rid of the cold. That's what it's all about.
They want to get rid of the cold? Why don't they just all move to Cuba?
Cuba?
It's warm down there.
They ain't taking no Russians there.
Huh?
They ain't taking no Russians there.
They're not taking any Russians in Cuba. They used to.
You can't fit the Russians there.
Yeah, they can barely fit each other.
You fat, right? Or skinny? What's up with that?
Let's see. I'll let you... 6 feet, 185. What do you think? Yeah. Six... Boy, that's nasty. Nasty cough.
You're so fucked.
So do you. Oh, by the way. Just tell you what I did with him. Live from Chechnya. Brain damage.
Hello. What you got a war going?
Nah, I just had to do away with a lousy caller.
Oh. In the beginning of the show, you mentioned about all the business cards you had.
Yeah.
And I guess you don't have the money for it yet, but they have all these new technologies coming out. And I saw in the, I think it was the Today Show last week, where Casio came out with a new device. Are you familiar with the little handheld personal information devices?
Oh, yeah, like electronic wizards and things like that?
Yeah, well, they have an attachment to one model, or I don't know if there's other models it attaches to. It's actually a scanner that will scan the business cards and feed it right into this.
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's great.
Yeah.
I really should start getting into some of that stuff because... over the course of business, too, you get cards from people, and then you get...
I've always weeded them out periodically.
Yeah.
But, sometimes I find really interesting ones that I haven't even looked at in a long time, where if I had it in a different computer-type file, I might go through it a little more often or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also you get a lot of those things to pile up, and... someday they may be of some practical use to you, like the person who works over at Con Ed in the Bronx, and all of a sudden you have you want to sell something to Con Ed. You call up the person, okay, who do I talk to? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then in the beginning of your show too, I noticed that you play some dull things just to annoy people on purpose.
Yeah,
you might make it a little more interesting by just. We're getting a copy of this World Weekly News each week and going through that before you go on the air. It's unbelievable.
You know what? Kenyon does that a lot. Remember when Eric does the show, he has Kenyon who goes on after this show usually?
He's always usually a week behind. This paper comes out on Saturday, and he's always got it from the previous week. But
yeah. Yeah. I really should get into that a little more because...
It's the most outrageous of all the papers.
No, yeah.
They just go for way out stuff.
You know what I really should do also?
I've been following over the years. Every so often you see a little excerpt of flying pigs recited down in South America or something.
Mm-hmm.
And different other locations around the world.
Nah, everybody knows the flying pigs are the ones who fly over the interstates enforcing speed limits.
one thing I'm looking through it right now. Well, I have an interesting article. It'd be ruins for Atlantis now were found in Lake Erie under 260 feet of water.
But, that wasn't Atlantis. That was the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Well, they say the building's there and everything. They're researching that. And then they have demons from hell kill 11 in the church attack.
Mm.
Georgia or something.
Sure, it wasn't an abortion clinic.
No, these are people in church being torn apart by demons from hell.
Wow.
But the kind of articles I like is one here that are probably suited to your mind, too. They have this fellow that is very industrious. Over the period of years, he has collected 119 pounds of lint from his belly button.
Oh, my God.
It shoved the garbage can full of this stuff.
Ooh. You know, lint from your belly button is the exact same lint that goes in the lint trap of a clothes dryer.
Well, this is, I guess he was very methodical about saving it. And supposedly all from his belly button, 119 pounds worth.
Oh, God.
Blowing the trash can is really a great picture.
That's the type of guy you'd want to interview on this show, too.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. There's so many things like that in this paper that, you know, if you just went through it, you'd have some interesting topics to stir your audience up right away.
Yeah, thanks. I think I will start bringing weekly world news in. You know, the other nice thing is...
Amity Inquirer, nothing compares to the articles.
Oh, no.
This one has.
National Enquirer is a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, who really wants...
Papers or whatever.
Yeah.
But this one really has a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
I just look at the articles when I'm talking to you. They have one, NASA to launch the first gay astronaut into space. Something Tyson's turned into a cream puff in prison, says heavyweight champ George Foreman.
As if he would know. Tyson's turned into a cream puff in prison. Wow. Well, you know what that is. That probably has some fact to it, too. I could imagine George Foreman saying that because he wants to fight him once he gets out. Yeah. Well, everybody knows what George Foreman does. He just stands there, and when you punch him, you just punch a whole mass of blubber, so it just kind of glances right off, and then he punches you, and that's it. One thing.
An accountant killed two coworkers. Somebody stuck a kick me sign on his back, so he went and shot the people that did that, killed them.
That didn't happen in Compton, did it?
This is Alan Ade, Ellendale or something, Australia.
Wow.
Another fella's face froze in agony after his son hit him in the crotch with a football.
Oh. His face froze?
Well, yeah, it shows his face frozen in the, with his mouth open.
Oh, God, the guy never recovered. You know, so, yeah.
Blamed referee cries foul after being fired.
Uh-huh. Let's see. The Weekly World News, folks. Now, of course, every now and then they have the half-human, half-ape, half-human, half-dog, half-human, dog gives birth to baby or whatever.
The history's greatest pig ass, the Queen of Spain gorged on 84 rabbits in a single meal.
Wow. God, that beats Walter Hudson out for damn sure. the 1,000-pound man.
Great stuff, very entertaining.
Half a ton. Yeah, that's one thing I get on somebody close to me is starting to really put the weight on. I said, how much you weigh now? I said, 250. I said, that's an eighth of a ton.
And people would rather go to hell than live without TV.
Well, I always thought hell was TV.
A man steals a condom machine from a bar.
God knows why. there are some things in life that I hear something's getting stolen, and I'm wondering why.
Well, I guess he wouldn't want to steal a car that has this device. They have a new gizmo that traps thieves inside your car and kills them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's legal or not.
You know what?
Look at the headlines they talk to you.
There's a chemical called butylaldehyde it's available in college chemistry labs and things like that. And once released into the atmosphere, creates a powerful odor. And a little goes a long way. A couple of drops strategically placed will stink up a building. I was thinking maybe instead of a car alarm, because audible car alarms are useless. I don't care how much you in discount you get on your insurance.
Sure.
A car alarm is probably the most useless anti-theft device ever invented, because when they go off, nobody pays attention to them.
The only one I think is good is that one that allows the police to find out what a car is.
LoJack, exactly, the homing device. But I was thinking maybe stick a butylaldehyde vial either right next to the ignition key. So if you try to force the ignition, you break it open and you stink up the entire car. Or you stick it in the air conditioning or something like that. The only trouble is getting rid of the smell is a pain in the neck. But, hey, you stink the inside of your car up, the guy can't drive it because the smell is just so repulsive. And it don't go nowhere.
Maybe something to squirt him, like the bank notes that have a red dye on it that gets on you. You can't get rid of it.
Yeah. They've done that, too, also, in alternative to mace cans. You spray dye on somebody, and, under a violet light, it shows up, and the guy's nailed. There are things. You know what I heard, best way to prevent a rape?
Probably to say you have AIDS.
Say you have AIDS, that's one way. But even if that fails, just let your empty your bowels. In other words, take a dump on the guy.
Yeah.
It's like, gone.
Or throw up or something.
Throw up, that's another one. That works. Do something absolutely positively repulsive. And
hope he doesn't kill you.
Hope he doesn't kill you. Well, Steve Martin used to say, the great one was, people will not mug you if they think you're crazy.
Mm.
So what he says, I wet my pants, make a big stain.
Sure.
Then I steal some baby carriage and start throwing garbage in it. No one mugs crazy people because you have to explain it to them what you're doing.
That's true.
No one mugs
it's
crazy.
It's hard to react on the spur of the moment sometimes.
Do not. It's an unwritten rule. Do not mug a crazy person.
Yeah, that's good, but.
That's one reason why you don't mug a crazy person is you have to explain it to them. The other reason why you don't mug a crazy person is that crazy people often do not have a threshold of pain. So if you hit a crazy person, the crazy person will still throw a pull out of 357 Magnum and blow you away.
They might enjoy it, come back for more.
Yeah, it's like, I'm dusted, man, hit me again. That kind of thing.
I'm going to let you go with this quick note here. There's one article.
Mm-hmm.
Get this week's World Weekly News. It just went on sale Saturday, so you'll have a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about. This looks like a good issue for you to look over.
Yeah.
They have one toward the end of the paper. Computers will make colleges obsolete. I agree with that.
Computers will, actually, Eric's friends, Hackers on Planet Earth and 2600 magazine readers and stuff like that already agree.
Sure.
People
no,
with
I predict that years ago,
yeah.
And I see it
people,
coming more and more every day.
Yeah.
As they're coming online now with the telephone and TVs and everything all together, you'll be able to someday just push a button for whatever field of interest you have and go from very basic into unproven scientific theories,
mm-hmm.
as deep as you want to go into any subject area.
It'll always be there, but the basic system of education is probably going to remain the same because of one little thing. We've been teaching people the same way since the ancient Greeks, which goes back about 3,000 years, and it works.
Well, the three R's are most important. If they can get that going a little bit better than it has been the past 20 years.
Well,
I think people from the 40s, 50s, or whatever, had a better basic grammar school education, which allowed them to
no doubt
function throughout life, where today they're just pushing kids that don't even know how to read out of high school.
Yeah. Here's the ironic thing. Basic education was one of the things that the communist countries did right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's about the only thing the communist countries did right.
You know,
but
I'm meeting a few Russians here and there lately, and they're brilliant people and very friendly.
Well,
and
one reason why is because if you can afford to emigrate from Russia, you're probably a very intelligent, and you're probably an intellectual. You're probably a very intelligent individual to begin with and highly educated. That's why you see a lot of them here.
You know, you see, I guess Brooklyn's a big hotspot for them. But
Brighton Beach.
I have gas stations now, and I had brought my car in to have it serviced, and he went an extra mile on cleaning out the fuel injector three times, and the dealer would have charged about one and a half times what he charged me.
So that's
he really did a good job on it.
Yeah. I probably worked on MIGs back in the days.
Well, he said he was. I said, where'd you learn all your mechanics? He said, all in Russia.
Yeah.
I don't know how certifications here, if he doesn't need them here or whatever.
Because
he said, too, over there, they do things by trial and error a lot of times, too. They have to know what they're doing because they don't have all the parts on hand like we do here. They have to improvise sometimes.
Exactly. That's one thing that I learned how to do when back in the days when I was driving cars in various states of disrepair. Back in those days when I was driving my old 1968, 69, 70, and 72 Chevy Malibu. Talk about the way the float used to stick on the carburetor.
Sign of a true mechanic.
It would load up. It would load up. It was great. I always had a screwdriver on hand. The float would stick, and the carburetor would load up, and it would stall. So first thing I do is pull the car aside. Never, ever leave it in park if you're going, by the way, because sometimes you can restart it in neutral.
Uh-huh.
But failing that, because I knew it was loading up, I would park over to the side, take the air cleaner off, bang on the carburetor a few times with the back end of the screwdriver, and it would start right up again. That would be good for another 20 miles. They would load up again and do the same thing over all over again. And eventually I rebuilt the carburetor and solved the problem.
Well, I'm going to let you move on because I'm not going to tie you up. I had you long enough.
Okay.
Share with the other people. Thank you very much again for the interesting conversation.
Okay. Thank you very much, too, for calling.
Here for you.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Brain damage.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Matt?
Yeah, I think so.
This is Mrs. Tisch.
Mrs. Tisch. Oh, you're Lawrence Tisch's wife. Don't you own part of the Giants?
No, wrong Tisch.
Sorry.
I met you when you used to work at I met you over the counter.
Oh, over the counter where?
I can't remember. It was the drugstore. My mind's going, you know?
Never worked in a drugstore in my life.
Never?
Never.
You're about, you're a large man.
Not that large, just tall.
Oh, I thought that you were large. Maybe
just tall.
I have the wrong mat.
Nope, it ain't me. I'm just tall, not large.
Oh, I thought, but you told me you had a show on Stony Brook. This is it.
There are 150 people a year at WUSB, most of whom have shows, so it could have been anybody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how are you anyway?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not doing so good.
What's wrong?
I went to the doctor. I was diagnosed with gastroenteritis.
That's just a stomach virus.
Yeah, but I've been constipated. I haven't been able to go, and it's really hurting.
Yeah, well, usually when you have gastroenteritis, it comes up the other end.
I threw up, but once it goes away, you don't just get rid of it. It doesn't start to flow. I was just sitting waiting for something to happen now, but it doesn't happen.
Drink some coffee.
I don't like caffeine, and I hate that decaf stuff. It's horrible.
Yeah, but man, talk about cleaning out your system. Well, there's always milk and magnesia.
Oh, that stuff tastes just like chalk. I hate that.
Yeah, but how long does it last? You take a couple of teaspoonfuls of the stuff, and that's it. It tastes like chalk, but you live with it.
Yeah, I'm afraid of all those things, though. I don't like. I go to the doctor. I get what he gives me. I take it. It's done, and that's it.
Okay. The only trouble is you can't see a doctor between now and Monday.
Basically.
Yep, so go get some Phillips and do the whole thing.
Excuse me?
Yeah, hey, you gotta, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not into it, though. I've been sitting on the bowl, so it feels like years.
Yep. I know what you mean.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. I just sit waiting. Are you drinking something?
Nope.
Oh, it sounded like you were drinking. So, what's your favorite color?
Oh, my favorite color?
Yeah.
Green. No, it's blue. Ah!
What?
The Bridge of Death scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Come on, you know it.
I don't watch Monty Pythons or whatever his name is. Well, come on. I have a game. Do you want to play it?
I don't know. I got four of the callers waiting.
Oh, I've been waiting a damn long time.
Yeah, but so is everybody else.
Oh, jeez.
Gotta go. Thanks for calling, though. Brain damage.
Yeah, you didn't put me on hold.
Yeah, I know. I have to shift you over here.
Oh.
Stick around. Okay. Brain damage. Theme music? Okay, I'm done.
Matt.
Yeah.
Put me back in teleconference. I fell off.
Okay. Stick around. Okay, I'll move you back over.
Thanks.
Okay. Oops, sorry about that. Hi there. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, I gotta park you over.
Hi there. Hello.
Hi. Okay. Stick around. Poetry guy.
Hey.
Stick around. Hang on. I got to put you on with Jim.
Wait. Can you call me back?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Okay. I should have this stupid thing memorized, but I don't. Oh, God. You know, there are times when you want to memorize something and the prisoners are escaping. There are times when you want to memorize something in the worst way, and you never do. Which is why you write it down. Somebody tell me why. Oops, sorry about that. Misdial. Okay. Sorry about that. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, hang on just a second. I'll put you on with Jim.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Jim. Poetry guy waiting. Oh, I goofed. Hi, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt, what happened with you?
What do you mean?
You messed it up.
Yeah, I know. You know what the problem is?
What?
I'm doing all this in my left hand.
Oh, to do it with your right hand.
Okay. You're in.
Matt.
Yeah.
If Rich calls, put him on, all right?
Rich is probably waiting. Hang on. Okay, Rich, you heard that, so stay on the line. Brain damage.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm sorry for bothering you again. I just have three quick questions to ask you.
Yes.
I want to go back. I need to get on teleconference, all right?
Okay.
All right, Lakers or Mavericks?
In terms of worst team in the NBA?
Yeah.
Lakers, because the Mavericks at least have a future.
Okay. Louisiana or Massachusetts?
In terms of?
State-wise, which you think is a better state?
Who you think is a better state?
Yeah.
Louisiana has lower taxes. Massachusetts has liberals.
Okay, Libya or Mongolia?
Mongolia. At least the government. At least there are places you can hide from the government.
All right, I just have to say hello to two people, and then can you put me in a teleconference with everybody?
Yeah.
I have to say hello to Lauren and Steve. And Steve Fester, I owe you my life. And can you put me in a teleconference?
Okay. Now I got to figure out which one I'm going to put you on. With
there. Are there two?
There, well, there was two. Hang on.
Put us all together. It'll be fun.
I can't do it because Poetry Guy, Rich, and Jim have something to do prior. I'm sorry, Rich. I get voices confused all the time because it takes so many calls. Hang on. Okay. I got Rich waiting here. Okay. Do you have your minion here?
And what?
Hello?
You have your quorum.
Him.
Do you have a quorum? Do you have the sufficient people that you need to do what you want to do?
We need Wizard.
You need Wizard.
We need Wizard.
Actually, no, Matt.
We need Wizard.
Who's left? Who's
we
left? Please
Wizard.
Tell me because I got five people waiting.
Matt, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, actually.
Lauren.
Actually, you don't because Sue is going to call, but I guess
Lauren.
I don't know if she's going to call yet.
There are five lines flashing, so Sue may be there.
Okay. No, we need Lauren. Not Sue.
Hang on. Jeez, God, make up your minds, folks. Brain damage.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's down?
Oh, man, this is so weird. Like, I can't believe I got through. This is so weird. I'm, like, tripping so hard right now, bro.
Yeah,
I'm seeing colors. Somebody told me. Like, my cousin Craig, he said call up, dude.
Yo, what's up, dude?
Hey.
Craig, this is so sick. Man.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with
Does everybody like hear us now?
And marmalade skies.
Are we over the
air? Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Yeah, dude, you
cellophane flowers
phone,
of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's gone. Hey. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Brain damage. Hello.
Danger to our individual liberty. You know, I went out this week, and I bought a six-pack of beer. Yeah. Well, I don't do that very often. It's kind of a big event when I do. And so the person said, can you prove you're 21? And I said, yeah, sure. Ask me a question about the 60s or something. But that wasn't good enough. They wanted to see my license. So I gave them my license. I figured they'd just look at the license and see that I was over 21 and put it back. But no, you know what they did? They took my license and they entered numbers from it. They entered numbers from my license into their computer. So somewhere, there is a record of me buying beer in this particular supermarket's computer. And who knows what other computers that computer talks to. That's scary. I mean, I don't want people to know if I'm drinking Pepsi. I don't want people to know anything. I just want to be left alone. I want to be, private, solitary citizen. That's all we ever hope for.
That wasn't really Eric, because Eric would not put a tape on. Brain damage.
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue, there are people waiting for you.
What?
There are people waiting for you.
Wait, I have a question. Questions.
Yes.
Wait, I'm just going to say hello to a few people. I just have to say hello to Karen out in Port Jefferson. I have to say as a portion, hello, Brendan, and who else? And Elisa, she got a tassel taken out, and I hope she's feeling better.
And
okay,
Tricia and Checkers, too, right?
Huh?
Forget it. It was an old joke that only some of the older listeners would understand.
Oh, okay. No,
it was Julie, Tricia, and Checkers, too. That's right.
I'm smoking a cigarette, Matt. I'm relaxing on a cigarette.
You're relaxing on a cigarette?
Yes.
Wow. What?
I don't smoke either.
Can you tell me what happened this evening to get you so wired?
What?
What happened this evening to get you so wired?
Long story.
Long story, and I got...
And you don't want to hear it, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
I got busted pranking one of my ex-boyfriends.
But pranking one of your ex-boyfriends? Wow. How does Sue do a prank call? Tell me how it's done.
Well, I didn't prank him. Like, we were calling up all ex-boyfriends.
Oh.
Yeah, and I didn't know, like, one of my ex-boyfriends, Teddy, has his caller ID now.
Uh-huh.
And I got home, and there was a message from my mom. Teddy called, blah, and she was just whole lot of, you better tell that son of a BB, not to be calling this house, but I'm distressed. Now I'm getting a whole lecture from
Teddy's got a call. Well, that's one thing. You never prank someone who has caller ID.
I know. I didn't know he had caller ID, though.
Until you found out the hard way.
Yeah, so now I'm going to get ripped by my mother. And he's going to keep calling now because he's a loser, but...
So, because you prank called him, now he thinks you want him back.
Uh-huh.
That's another side effect of pranking.
I know. So, I guess I'm kind of snagged. Plus, I'm getting the whole lecture about school.
Oh, what'd you do now? Or what didn't you do?
Well, I don't know, because, like, I go to Suffolk, and, you know, like, people have, like, procrastination problems. Well, that's my biggest problem.
Yeah.
And, they don't have, like, I want to go into, like, social work, and they don't have social sciences at Suffolk.
Yeah, they have it at Stony Brook, though.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Stony Brook, though.
I don't blame you.
My friend goes there, and she said it's, like, terrible, because, like, the lecture hall is, like, 200, 300 people. So I want to transfer over to Dowling, but I have to wait another semester.
Yeah.
So now I got to, like, take these stupid courses that I'm not even interested in.
Take courses you are interested in.
What?
If you wait a minute, what I get here is that you don't necessarily have to continue your chosen field of endeavor when you're in Suffolk. You just have to mark time until you can get out.
Uh-huh.
So take courses that interest you.
Yeah, I know. We'll take like philosophy. And
take
stuff.
BS that's courses. Yeah, take courses you know you're going to ace, and that's
every,
it.
Like psych class, but they added some new psych class.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't you just be a psych major and do that? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so, because like, I get like straight A's in those courses.
Well, hey, I'll tell you something else. What you major in doesn't necessarily determine what you're going to do when you get out. So if you can get a 4.0 in psychology, get a 4.0 in psychology, take a GRE in whatever you really want to do, and then go to graduate school for it. But you see, if you get a 4.0, even in psychology...
Uh-huh.
That definitely helps you get into a good master's or PhD program no matter what you do.
Uh-huh.
So get your 4.0. I've learned that in this screwed up academic world of ours, getting the grades, no matter what they're in, is more important than what you major in.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if I knew that back when I was 18, I wouldn't have majored in physics. I would have majored in psychology. Would have aced it.
Yeah.
Would have said you guys are full of BS all the way through, but still.
Thank you. But, I don't know. They have this really cool, like, psych class that I'm going to switch over to Amarin because I just go to Brentwood.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like Brentwood anymore because they're, like, that's another long story, but...
Well, not even people in Brentwood don't like Brentwood, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's what I mean. But, like, Amarin's more like a real college life class. But,
yeah.
Like, Brentwood's just, like, three buildings, and, like, the other two buildings are, like, in those, what do they call those things?
Temporary things.
It's like actually, there's no bathrooms, no water fountains. It looks like a trailer thing.
Yeah.
So I want to switch over there, but they have this really cool site class. And I'm looking in the book for it, but it's like social, cultural something. It's got like everything mixed into like one site class.
Perfect marking time until you can transfer to Dowling class.
Yeah. Like psychology, adulthood, and aging, cross cultural psych. They have all the stuff that they didn't have at Brentwood, and they have. Psychology of the mind control. So that's really cool. I mean, I took
get it. Do that. Like, do that. Yeah, get the mind control one in. Maybe they'll show you a Clockwork Orange or something like that.
But you know, I took all the psych classes, and they teach you the same stuff. They teach you about Maslow, Freud, and blah blah blah. They go all into the same stuff. They just take it a little bit deeper.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I said psychology is full of BS.
Yeah, well, it's true. It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I want to go into social... I mean, it's going to help because I want to go into social work and I want to work with adolescents.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, hey, I'll tell you something. You want to go into social work and you want to work with adolescents?
Yeah.
Do this show. Hang on. Okay. I found Sue.
Matt.
Yes.
That wizard.
Wizard is waiting somewhere. I can't go through the lines. Okay.
I'll do this.
You're in, Sue.
Yeah.
Okay. We still don't have our full compliment yet, do we?
Wizard.
I know. Get wizard. I hear you. Okay, wizard. That means call. I'm sure you have. Brain damage.
Wizard to ground control. Come in, Mankey. I'm here.
Okay. Hang on. Okay. Here's Wizard.
Wizard?
Not yet. You're in, Wizard.
And nobody else, because there's always going to be a lot of feedback.
Well,
Wizard, stop it.
Okay, will you, now, poetry guy, I'm sure you're the one behind all this, so can you tell me, is everything in place to do what you want to do?
Yeah, that's it, man. Nobody else.
I'm not going to put anybody else in, because apparently we have everybody we need.
Yeah,
so
get her.
Matt,
what?
We need someone.
Who's left?
Matt.
Who's left?
Matt.
Yes.
Matt. Mackowitz, Matt.
Yes, I am here. I am here. I haven't left. Okay?
Matt.
Yes.
Tell you something, Matt.
What?
Matt.
Yes.
All right, Matt, listen.
Say it already. Jesus Christ.
Come on, I've responded. Don't listen to your radio. You know better than that. What?
Don't make me smoke another cigarette. Come on now.
What?
Wizard.
I'm turning down my radio, okay?
Get it out,
yes.
Wizard.
All right, Matt?
Yes.
Matt?
Come on, he's listening.
I am here.
Tell him already.
Matt, you know what I think you should do for your show?
What?
I don't know what he's saying, but you know what I think you should do for your show?
What?
I think you should call up Eric and have him do the show with you once.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the only trouble is the main reason why Eric is not here sitting next to me is because Eric is not available. Okay, that's the problem.
Why doesn't Eric do the show with you, though?
Eric does do the show with me on occasion, as you know, but the only one reason why Eric
he's
is
like
not
Batman
present...
Robin.
Like Abbott and Costello.
And one reason why Eric is not present right now is because
Martin
Eric
Lewis,
is somewhere else. Eric is...
Like fans down in Troy.
Yes, unable to do the show because he is somewhere else. That is the reason why I am here alone.
He makes a lot of surprise visits anyway.
We're both tall and skinny. So what does that mean?
I didn't mean it by that. I'm just quoting. So
yeah,
I
know.
To do with what they look
you
like.
You guys are like Sonny and Cher.
Jesus.
Please.
Martin Lewis, Laurel and Hardy.
All right.
No, we need to do that on teleconference, Matt.
We got the picture.
Well, poetry guy, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, let's get this thing going, what you have planned.
Well, it's kind of like,
Well, I'm not included in this, so...
I was talking about it with Sue. Sue, I don't know what you want to say about it.
Wait, who's...
Is there any Prozac going to be done there?
Huh?
Is there going to be Prozac?
Who's Prozac?
Is there going to be Prozac?
Who's Prozac?
No, Prozac isn't a
like
who, it's a what.
Prozac,
it's a what, and I'm going to be needing some unless we get this... Unless I find out what's going on here.
Okay, this is what's happening.
Yes.
Can I please say it, Andy?
Rapid.
Don't. Wait, Sue. Come on.
It's your idea. Say it.
What? Brain damage get together.
Yeah.
A brain damage what? Oh, brain damage get together?
Yeah.
Well, it can't happen until the building reopens at the end of January.
House, Matt.
Why don't we go to your house?
What's the problem?
Why don't we do it on air?
There's no way.
Why don't we do it at the Mankiewicz residence?
Not on your life. Not in a million years would I allow that. Besides which, you can't do it on the air from there.
Why can't I have it in my house?
We're your best callers, Matt. You should put us on the air with you one day. All of us.
Well, if
I'm
you guys...
After 5 weeks, so.
At one point, when the building is open and I can actually allow everybody in here, I may just do that.
Why can't I have it in my house for?
Because if I try to do it, we try to do the show from your house, it will sound like
the
phone.
Can we broadcast live from Joe's video hall?
Oh,
can't
on.
Be done.
Live,
sorry.
Video hall.
This wasn't the intentional plan.
Right,
a brain damage
video.
Gathering is entirely possible, and I would not have a problem with it, except that we cannot do it for at least another 3 or 4 weeks.
Still do it, though, right?
We were talking about
it is
a party,
doable.
Not a broadcast.
Can we bring non-brain
brain
damage
party?
With us?
Well, what would a party be without the broadcast?
Wait a second. I wanted it at my house. My parents are going away for 2 weeks to Aruba.
Oh, why can't we have it in Aruba?
Hey, you know what I mean?
We got the money. We can go.
I would love to go to... I would love to do brain damage from Aruba. I would do it from... I would do it from whatever night spot, whatever crazy night spot is there, and, you know, have a couple of... couple.
Is that Mr. Wizard? You better keep your mouth shut, boy.
No,
don't be stepping up to the wind.
we have really much
Where's Tyrone?
Let me tell you.
Speaking of which, where the hell, where my the entire group that hosted on the Anyone Can Host show,
I have not heard from since the beginning of December.
Kevin doesn't want to do Tony Thomas anymore.
Yeah.
Well, Tony Thomas can be somebody else.
Who would want to be Tony Thomas?
What?
I have a question. What does the word spoff mean to you?
Spoff?
You used this word on air with me once.
You asked college guys.
I think it was spoff.
I have it on
spoof.
It's either
spoff. Zombie man.
Or shag.
Shut up.
Or shag.
Shag.
He was talking about some girl and he said,
hey, too.
Did you shag her?
No.
Yes, you know what shag means?
Right.
You know what shag means?
What was it?
freeze.
Okay, shag. Okay, shag can mean several different things. In baseball, if you shag flies, it means somebody's hitting balls to you. If you're from Liverpool, shag means something else you do with balls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. We just, because me and Wizard kept talking about that.
Yeah, we were talking about this. What does soft mean? I mean...
Shag.
Shag.
I get it now, but...
Now I understand it.
All right.
Okay. So, Mac, we had the brain damage party at your house, man?
Never.
Why not?
No, you gotta be out of your mind.
I know your address, Matt. Someone gave it to me.
That's very... Oh, that's all well and good. Just don't show up there.
Matt, can I give you the street name's first letter?
Not on your life.
Wait, no one's gonna know
it's a person's name.
Hey. No. Folks, it is relatively easy. It is insanely easy to find out.
I'm quiet.
Guys, have fun. I gotta answer the other calls. Stick around. Oh, God. Can't anybody get any peace around here? God, I'm available for 2 hours a week, and that's not enough. God, people must really... I'm starting to feel like... sound like Sally Field. You really like me. Not that I mind. Oh, God. But Mark David Chapman liked John Lennon, too. Brain damage.
Yo, where did you hang up on me, man?
Well, because it kind of fit in. It was a beautiful segue out of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yo, but I have to tell you about what I'm seeing, man. Can I tell you? Because I want everybody to hear it, because sometimes I can't tell if it's real or not.
Okay, try it.
There's these, like, Chinese people, but they're not really Chinese, and they're from, like, outer space, and they come with these guns they bought from a Ferengi, and they, like, shoot you, and they shrink you, and they put you in a tube. Oh, my God, dude, I'm so freaking out. I don't know what to do.
You know, those Ferengi, those guns they bought from the Ferengis were actually meant to make you bigger.
Well, it didn't happen that way, man. Everybody's
well,
glass tubes,
you never buy anything from a Ferengi unless you want to get taken. That's always been the deal, you know?
Come on. All right, ready? And after you're in this tube, they throw you in this lemon yellow machine, and you turn into, like, sort of a sherbet, and they serve you to these, like, dogs. And they're not regular dogs, though. They have, like, these big, big heads.
You know what? You know what the problem is?
Man.
You know, oh, those are Cardassians.
What the hell is that, man?
You know what probably, you know, you were probably on Deep Space Nine. You got a little too wasted over at Quark's Casino, and you wound up in the back somewhere. And I guess you tripped over a case of whatever concoction.
Dude.
Huh?
I don't gamble. I don't know casino.
Yeah, but that's...
I, like, brew all my own stuff. I bought it at Kidco, bro. I swear.
Oh, man. The only trouble is... When it's the only game in town, you gotta go someplace to drink, and you probably got a little too wasted over at Quark's place, and now you're totally lost.
I just drink at my own house. I swear, I have the whole kit, man. I can make beers from like anything, any flavor. I swear, and I make like grass flavor beer.
Grass,
and, like,
that's Molson.
You know, I put like some LSD in.
Hey, LSD and beer. Oh man, I gotta try your stuff.
Yeah, it rips. Go to Kidco, man.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever see it? It's like, I don't know. I hear it on
the
radio.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Martley dude's like on there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It pretty much rules, like,
LSD
everything
beer.
He says. Those two guys, the Booze Brothers,
uh-huh.
They're like really there. They're really cool.
Hey, you read the Yale Street News?
No. I don't have any way to get any reading material. I have, like, no money, you know. I just sit home.
It's free.
Basically.
It's free. Any place you buy beer, you can get the Yale Street News for nothing.
Really?
Yeah, man,
read
it.
Heard of it, bro.
Oh, man, it's the microbrewery newspaper.
Oh, I'll have to pick that up. What do they have? Like, what kind of articles, man?
Well, they talk about beer.
Just, like... What about it?
What about it? I mean, how to make it, how to put different things in it, and do exactly what you're doing, man.
It rules, though, I'm telling you. Yo, it sounds really gross, but I made oregano-flavored beer, and I gave it to some of my Italian friends, dude. They were bugging so hard.
bugging on oregano. Ooh, oregano flavored beer.
Telling you.
Okay, gotta go. I got three more callers.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Peace out, man.
Yeah, tune in, turn out, and drop it. Yeah, drop acid, man. See ya. Brain damage.
I got Tony Thomas from Bayshore here.
Tony Thomas sounds like he got a cold.
I have horse.
Oh, man. The horse sounds like you got the Kentucky Derby.
What's going on?
Not much, but I haven't heard from anybody from the Anyone. Now, of course, I was off for 3 weeks, but I haven't heard from anybody from the Anyone Can Host show since the beginning of December. What's going on, folks?
Yeah, weren't you on New Year's night?
Yes, I was on.
Yeah, I heard you. I was going to call, but I went to a party, like an all-nighter.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I wish I could have gone to one of those, too, but I was actually very psyched about doing the New Year's show because I wanted to find out what would happen. What would happen if we actually had a show at 12 o'clock, the first broadcast on WUSB of 1995, and we kept it going pretty well.
I knew a lot of people call, a lot of regulars. A
lot of regulars. Not, of course, the volume was not as much as it's normally been, but we had a lot. We had our share.
Ah, that's great.
Yes.
But I got a song for you tonight.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, make sure the guitar doesn't drown it out.
Yeah, I got acoustic tonight.
Cool. Tony Thomas Unplugged, folks.
Hold on.
Boom. Can I get that?
One night, opened up the refrigerator door and saw the most wonderful sight. I was so excited, I started to jump up and dance. I got a bit out of hand and blew a big fat load in my pants. I took the cake and jumped in my Dodge Ram. Nothing's gonna stop me until I get to Amsterdam. I don't really mind driving, I just don't care. I'm not gonna take a plane because I can't afford the airfare. Welcome to the Hotel Amsterdam. Such a lovely place. Got to set for your face. Showering on cake at the Hotel Amsterdam. Just gotta get high. I mean, Jah Rastafari. Can eat cake just for no reason. 24 hours a day. Every year, every season. Our stuff they call me. Say I'm in the sky. Captain Kirk to Enterprise. Please help me get by. I eat cake so much. My stomach always hurts. My friends are talking about me. They're calling me burnt. It seems like an addiction. Just something I need. To you it's beer and cigarettes. To me it's cake filled with weed. Welcome to the Hotel Amsterdam. Such a lovely place. You get to stuff your face. Chowing on cake at the Hotel Amsterdam. Just gotta get high. And me, Jah Rastafari. Thank you.
a triumph?
It's great.
Nah, you're this one, Tony Thomas Unplugged, and a classic song, no less. Hey, you got it, dude.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm really hoarse.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you still have enough of a voice left to talk with some of the people over here on the side?
Yeah, go ahead. Park me on the side.
Okay, hang on. Okay. Yeah, I got Tony Thomas waiting here.
Oh.
You're in.
No.
Matt.
You're in. He's in. Yes.
Matt, don't put any more people
in.
There's no room anyway. It's 2 o'clock. I can't put any more people in, but I will try to get a couple of words in. Hang on. Anyway. You're listening to the place where unique sounds begin, WUSB Stony Brook. Gary is supposed to be here now. Gary? Well, I will kill a couple of seconds here while Gary makes his eagerly anticipated entrance. And Gary is here. He is in the building, as he would definitely like to have everybody know, and his unique brand of WUSB music will follow. And let's just find out who else is lying around here. I'll give him a chance to get on. Brain damage. Hello.
And we come your way every week at this time to bring you the latest in the news of technology, the internet, telephones, computers, whatnot.
Well, in a world run by computers, Emmanuel Goldstein is guru to a subculture that is trying to subvert the system. He broadcasts to a large audience of computer hackers, information warriors who target corporate systems, government records, and personal files. Are the hackers merely mischief makers or a threat to international security?
Who knows? Brain damage.
Hey, Carlo! Is this Matt?
Yeah.
Hey, Carlo, I've been drinking, you know, oregano beer.
You drink oregano beer?
Yeah, you hear my California cool guy calling?
No, California brew guy? Oh, yeah, he was on. You need a beer? I can't help you there.
Carlo!
Hey, gotta go.
Carlo!
Arrivederci. Okay, with that, I bid you leave. Good night, everybody.